This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What are you doing to protect your family's assets? As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Con, Dorian, Morad can help you draft your last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. And be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Welcome back to Caddies on Cordell in the heart of Bethesda. It's Grant Danny here on the Fan. No GP, Linnell. Late night Linnell is sitting in this afternoon as we hang out with you guys until 6:30 p.m. Without further ado, let's jump to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. The Dean of DC Sports from The Athletic, Mr. David Aldridge, kind enough to join us. David, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, DA.
Happy New Year, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
We're doing all right. I want to spin around on a few different fronts here with you. Just sure. Get your thoughts from a 30,000-foot view first on college football, kind of wrap up the discussion we just had. Indiana's an amazing story. So is Ole Miss. And you know, Miami ain't bad either. You know, it's more run-of-the-mill where people don't think you should be in, and then you win a couple of games. Just kind of give me your take on what we've seen so far in the playoff.
Well, last night was great. I mean, the first weekend wasn't all that exciting, you know, but last night was great. I mean, it was tremendous games, just really exciting games. I mean, I'm old now, but my son was like, wow, this is great. New blood, you know, like to your point, like seeing Miami and Indiana, you know, Ole Miss teams that are not usually in this mix at this level instead of the usual suspects of Alabama and Georgia and Notre Dame and the usual teams that you see, Ohio State that you see this time of year. So I think it's exciting for a lot of people at different touch points that not just that they're new names, but they all play a very entertaining, exciting brand of football. I mean, all three of them are really fun to watch, right? So, I mean, there's going to be, and Oregon's fun to watch too. So, it's going to be an unusual semifinals and finals because it'll be somebody different, right? And so you can't really kind of predict how it's going to go, but having not only, you know, Mendoza, who's a Heisman Trophy winner, but having some of the skill players that Ole Miss has and some of the defensive players that Miami has, I mean, it's just going to be a really fun couple of games, I think.
DA, I mean this in the most respectful way possible. Obviously, the season wraps up on Sunday for the Commanders. What is the point of this game? What can you take away from the season finale, if anything?
Just how stupid I am to actually be going up to the game.
Oh, you're making the trip?
Oof. I'm a moron. It's on me. It's on me. No, I mean, look, there's nothing that you're going to get out of this game. I mean, there's no information that you're going to glean, but contractually you are obligated to play it. I don't believe that they'll allow you to forfeit the game, so you have to play it. But no, I mean, there's nothing that they don't already know about the people on their team that is going to be unearthed by playing a game against Philly's backups. It's always better to win the last game than to not win it. So from that standpoint, there's some benefit to it. But they know, I think they know where they are and the myriad problems that they have in terms of personnel and in terms of scheme and all the other stuff that they're going to have to fix in the offseason. It's going to be a very, very, very busy offseason for this franchise. You know, not because I try not to wallow in the dead enders that you see on social media who think that it's an expansion team now, because it's not. It's not an expansion team. It's a team that has holes and it needs to fix them.
David Aldridge with us here on Grant and Danny. And to that end, David, I'm going to use a very poorly drawn analogy to try to illustrate my point. I was convinced during the height of COVID that a certain stock would be the future. This performance would be incredible. I ran the thesis by smart people. I ran it by my wife, who's also very smart. And everyone said, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I went in, and it couldn't be more worthless at this point. And it was really, really hard for me to come to grips with. My thesis wasn't right. Enter this season. A lot of decisions got made, that turned out to not be right. Are these decision makers who, you know, were feeling themselves a little bit, understandably, after a 12-5 season and an NFC title game, how capable are they of saying every one of these things was wrong and you know, maybe removing any kind of excuses and rose-colored glasses to it? Do we trust them 100% to be, you know, sort of self-reflective there to make some of the fixes that we all think need to happen?
I don't see any reason not to give them an opportunity to fix it. I guess that's what I would say. I don't subscribe to this fact that because of one really bad season, you should just fire everybody and start over, because that's what the last guy would have done.
Right.
Where'd that get you for 3 decades? Kind of knee-jerk reactionary, I'm upset, so I'm going to just fire everybody. That doesn't get you anywhere. It's not to say that you blindly, you know, say Adam Peters can do no wrong or Dan Quinn is infallible. You hold them accountable, but you give them a chance to fix it. And this is the off season that they have a chance to fix it. I think Dan Quinn in his heart of hearts doesn't want to be the defensive coordinator, so they're probably going to have to hire a defensive coordinator. That's his call. He's going to have to hire somebody good to get the most out of this group. And they're going to have to make better decisions, not just in the draft, but in free agency and in trades. They have to do better. But, you know, I think they're pretty capable guys. And it's not just because they went 12-5 last season. I do think that there was a method to it. Did they get over their skis on Lattimore? Yeah, probably. They probably would, if you asked them, gave them true serum, they'd probably say, maybe we shouldn't have done that deal. But I don't think anybody is saying that they shouldn't have traded for Laremy Tunsil. He's had a really good season. Like, I don't know how you could possibly say Laremy Tunsil wasn't worth it. You solved one of the most vexing problems, especially with a young quarterback, which is left tackle. Like, that's number one problem to solve. Well, that problem got solved. Now, you got to pay for it. And I hope that they don't nickel and dime their way to this. You got to pay for it now. You paid for a guy who's really good. And I don't want to start hearing, well, he's 31. No. Yeah. He's one of the elite tackles in football. Pay for it. Now, does that mean he should be the highest paid? I wouldn't say that. But he shouldn't be the ninth highest paid either. You know, like, there's a number that you can get to that would be fair for both sides. But keep in mind, I'm the guy that said that about McLaurin, and see how that took a little while. So maybe I'm not the right guy to ask.
This may be fair or not fair, DA, but like looking at through the first two drafts here, the lack of significant production from their top 100 picks, I can't help but look at the fact that a lot of the scouts and folks that are on the road looking at these players have been with the organization for a long time. And I understand this is a relationships-based business and you're going to go with who you're comfortable with. Do you expect any sort of changes to this scouting department after this draft is over?
I mean, I don't know that I agree with that perspective. I mean, they brought in a lot of new people. I mean,
from the scouting perspective,
there's probably some holdovers, but I think they've brought in a lot of people that Adam Peters knows from his days, and not just with the 49ers, but with the Broncos and with the Patriots. I mean, I don't know everybody that's in the organization, okay? But, you know, I don't think that it was, I'm just going to keep all these old guys that don't know what they're talking about. I mean, everybody can say that after they have a draft. It's not great. You know?
The one example, DA, that I go to is the director of college scouting, Tim Gribble, has held this position since 2020. I don't know how common it is. That's 5 years. But for a new general manager to come in.
It's 50. It's 5 years. Yeah.
But my point is for a new general manager to come in and try to put his fingerprints on the organization, to have a big piece like that be held over from the previous regime where they did not draft well, it makes you scratch your head a little bit.
Well, they brought Lance Newmark in from Detroit, who drafted really well. Like, I mean, like, so again, I just don't agree with your premise here that they just have a bunch of old holdovers that can't draft. I mean, I don't think that's it at all. I think they just didn't hit on some of the picks that they made this year, you know, and it's more than you would like, but it's not because of that. Like, it's because they didn't draft well this year. Like, I mean, like, that happens. I mean, and again, I guess it depends on what you think of Connerly. I think Connerly's had a perfectly solid rookie season at right tackle. Like, I don't get this. Well, I know where it comes from. I I don't know why we subscribe to the opinions of people that utterly failed at their jobs while they were here, but that's what people do sometimes. I don't get it, but okay. I think Connerly's had a perfectly solid rookie year at right tackle. After having to block Brian Burns, Micah Parsons, and Max Crosby for his first three professional games. Like, those are your first three. Those are your first three jobs. That's what you get to do off the rip.
Yeah, good luck.
I think he's been okay since then. I think Amos was playing fine until he got hurt. Like, it's not like they were total busts. 1 and 2 were not busts. Like, I know, I guess people just have to say that because they're 4-13, but it's not true. It's just not true. They aren't the best players at their position, but they're not the worst either. So I would say that they have had pretty typical rookie seasons. And if Connerly shows any aptitude going forward, you have now solved both tackle positions for the foreseeable future, which I think is a very, very good thing going forward.
David Aldridge with us here on G&D. So this is going to be a bit of an odd question out of left field, but bear with me here for a second. I got a really good friend, a really smart guy in finance, has no connection to football, but he said something to me that I thought was interesting. He said, with the Tunsil contract that you referenced a moment ago, David, he goes, they're going to try to re-sign him, and that's obvious. I hope they can come to an agreement. How they structure the contract is going to tell us a lot about the financial wherewithal of Harrison Company. And I'm going, totally. What do you mean by that, right? I mean, it's above my pay grade. I don't quite get it. But he's like, you think about they had 30 partners, and it took a million years to vet everybody, and all the cash, and he's spread thin with the 7 other teams he owns, et cetera, and so on. It might give us an insight into maybe why they built a certain way, depending on how they structure this deal, because the smart thing to do would be to front load it while you've got Jaden Daniels on this rookie-type deal. Just your thoughts there, and you know, have you seen or heard anything in that regard?
I mean, it's a fair, I guess, position to take. I don't know that it necessarily reflects, you know, liquidity on the part of Josh Harris or not, but maybe, I mean, I suppose it could. I think you're kind of in for a dime in for a dollar at this point. Like, if you spent $6 billion on a football team, I don't think you can come out and then say, you know what, I really just don't have the money right now. Could you come back in a couple of years? Like, that doesn't really fly. So I would like to think he would understand, and they would all understand, that this is, you know, the cost of an elite left tackle is substantial. If they want to structure it a certain way that lessens their burden, their immediate burden, I mean, I guess they could try, but I don't know that I'd be surprised if Tunsil went along with that. So I think he's going to want as much money up front as possible. And again, there's just no reason not for this not to be a relatively easy negotiation. Like, this cannot go into OTAs and training camp like McLaurin did. Like, we saw what happened with that.
Oh, it does.
Yeah, it was a disastrous outcome. You can't have that anymore. Like, you just can't have that again, especially at a position as important as left tackle. So, I will say this, you know, like, if you ask about accountability, this is definitely an area where you can hold management and ownership accountable if they don't get this done quickly. Like, there's no reason for this not to get done in order for Tunsil to be there for training camp. Like, it just, you can't have that again and hope to have a good season next year.
Yeah, the one wrinkle in the Tunsil negotiation, and obviously it's going to be easy for us to look back at the Terry negotiation last year and kind of have cold feet of like, hey, are they going to get it done? Are they not? He represents himself. I don't know how that is going to change the dynamic of the way that conversation goes, because it's tough. They're going to have to tell Tunsil straight up to his face why he doesn't deserve to be the highest paid tackle in the history of the National Football League. Right. I wonder how that power dynamic is going to go, because, you know, Adam Peters in his 1.5 years here has kind of developed this mentality of being a tough, stiff negotiator. Well, it's different when you're negotiating with Buddy Baker versus the actual player.
No question, it is. But you knew that when you traded for him. So again, this I'm not accepting that as an excuse. If you don't like, if that's a problem, don't trade for him. You know what I mean?
Like, very true.
So go trade for somebody else. You know, they traded for this guy who represents himself. All right, well, that's what we have to deal with as an organization to get this done. Okay, that's what you have to deal with. Like, Lamar Jackson's represented by his mother. Like, I don't know what to tell you about that. Like, he is, but if you want to get him signed, you got to make deal with his mother. I don't know what to tell you. Like, that's the deal. And don't draft him if you don't want to deal with his mother. You know what I mean? Like, so, right. Like, it's, you know, get the, none of that liquidity, none of that. I don't want to hear any of that. He's your left tackle. He's really good. Pay him. Like,
seems very simple.
Sports is really amazing. I get this. I do this all the time with baseball people. I don't understand this. It's the only thing where you don't pay people who do their jobs well. Like, you always come up with some reason not to pay the guy who's the best left-handed reliever in baseball, or who's the best power hitter in the National League. You just, no, we can't pay him. Well, why not? Why did you? What are you paying him for? Why are you bringing these people into your organization if you're not going to pay them when they do well? If they don't do well, you get rid of them. We all understand that. Yes, you should. But when they do well, you should pay them. And you should pay Laramie Tunsil.
Yeah, I'm going to write some of this down, David. This is good.
I'd be the worst front office guy in the history of the world. Because I'd be just, pay him.
Pay that man. DA with us here on G&D. One more about the football team. This coaching regime, as good a deposit as year one was, Year two, obviously, you know, maybe you're neutral, maybe you're even net negative, or maybe slightly positive, depends on who you are. But how do we feel about them? Again, I'm not suggesting any kind of action to your point. It would not really serve anybody, after only two seasons. But kind of give me your temperature check on Dan Quinn and his staff.
Well, I mean, they didn't have a good year. They just clearly didn't have a good year, no matter what. Yes, they had a ton of injuries. Of course they did. San Francisco had a ton of injuries. They're going to be in the playoffs and have a chance to go to the Super Bowl. Like, you know what I mean? Like, everybody has really bad injuries. Some have more bad injuries, but, you know, I accept the fact that they had a lot of injuries this year. But the job is to coach the next guy to a point where that becomes, if not irrelevant, it just doesn't become mitigating, right? And so that's where they didn't get it done this year. They just didn't. And I think part of that was, I just don't think they coached the personnel that they had, especially on the defensive side, very well at all. Like, it's not showing up on Sundays. It just doesn't show up on Sundays. You know, you talk about what they talk about and what they drill down and they look deep and they practice hard and they do all these things, and it doesn't show up on the football field. So they got to figure out a different way to do it. Now, I think the easiest thing is just to bring in a new DC next year, who can maybe coach him up a little better.
Not to cut you off here. I'm sorry. Every time this conversation comes up, he is a defensive-minded head coach. Why should someone else have to be brought in to do his damn job? What is he doing?
Want to do that job for now. He's made it very clear. He wants to be the CEO. He does not want to coach a unit. He wants to be the guy that looks at all 360 degrees of the football operation. And again, you knew that when you interviewed him. If that was a problem, you shouldn't have hired him.
Yeah.
He's told you what he wants to do. That's what he wants to do. So he's not going to put the headset on and start calling fire zone blitzes. He's not going to do that. Like, he could do it, but he's not going to do it. So we got to at some point accept this is who he is. This is what he wants to do. So then bring in a guy that you think can coach your group up the way to a more effective result than what you got this year, which was terrible. You know, that's what has to happen going forward. I mean, I'd bring Al Harris in, and other people might bring other guys in, but I'd bring Al Harris.
I like that one, D.A.
That's my first call, 1-800-AL Harris.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he seems to be really good at getting people in the secondary to separate the football from the guy that has it. Like, his guys do that on a regular basis wherever he goes. I think that's something that they should look into here.
For sure. I think that they got to get the pass rush situation
and that's
situated.
But that's more about draft to me. That's more about, hey, you could, yes, they need to trade down. They need to get more picks. But there's a couple guys at 6 and 7 that could be really good edge rushers. You might want to think about that.
Wanted to ask you about the local basketball team, D.A. They're in action again tonight against the lowly Brooklyn Nets. It's probably going to be their fourth win in 5 games. Are they in danger at all? I was a big fan of your piece that you wrote a couple of days ago. Are they in danger at all, in your opinion, of losing the protection on that draft pick?
I would just say this. I think anybody involved with the Wizards should now understand that the lottery is not what you should put your hopes into.
Yeah.
Like, you shouldn't be saying, oh, yeah, that's going to work out fine. It doesn't work out fine for them. It hasn't worked out fine for them since I was covering the team. So that tells you how long it's been. Yeah, I mean, look, no. Is it more likely that they keep the pick? Yes. But I would not want to give any opportunity for them to lose the pick by not finishing in the bottom four. Right now they're four. Now, are they three games ahead of the fifth place team? Yes. There's 50 games left. Like, that could change.
Yeah.
and not in the way that they would want. So I would be reluctant. And, you know, and this was the dichotomy that I was pointing to, which is it's going to be hard for them to look those young guys in the eye who have worked their tails off to get better and are now getting better and say, you need to sit down now.
Slow down.
Right.
That's going to be a hard conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, that's going to be tough for them to pull off. But that's the gig. I mean, they've got to do what they have to do to hold on to that pick and have the opportunity, just the opportunity, to take one of these guys in the draft. And it's a really good draft. And these are really good players that are coming out. And they really need to get one of them, you know, because it's been – you just can't keep not having a franchise-level player on your roster. They have some really good young players who can be really good pieces, but they're pieces.
Right.
They're the pips. They need Gladys Knight.
Oh, I love that. David, happy new year to you, buddy. Appreciate
Thanks,
the time,
DA.
As always, my friend. Thank you.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Be well. There he goes. David Aldridge, kind enough to make some time for us this afternoon. We have a very important anniversary that we have overlooked, frankly, Linnell, on this program today. And I will not let that stand any longer.
Put your foot down.
We are going to honor it. We're going to mark it. In fact, the next 3 hours, every segment, we will celebrate this very important seminal moment, not Florida State Seminole. No. Seminal moment here on Grant and Handy. Linnell kind enough to sit in for GP today. Tell you what that is. And I want to talk to Linnell as well about how we're viewing this game this weekend that we just talked to David Aldridge about.
So we have to talk about the game.
We do. Literally the job. We're going to do it. But that's what it's work. Believe me on that one. But a very important anniversary. We'll tell you what that is when we come back next.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's G&D here on the Fan. Linnell is in for GP. We are at Caddy's on Cordell. Cordell? In the heart of Bethesda. Hanging out with you guys till 6:30. Come on in, have a brew, have some delicious foodstuffs as we have done. This place rules. Always love being here. Right in the heart of Bethesda. As I said, Caddy's on Cordell. An institution, dare I say. 3:45, it's winning off the field time. It's Friday. Linnell will play. He knows what to do. He's an expert. 4 o'clock, Beltway Blitz. We have been remiss.
Yeah.
Because we let something go here a little bit too long. I should have done this the opening segment. Got a little busy. Forgot what was happening. We're talking college football. I got on my soapbox, etc. Taking the Wayback Machine 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Remember 6 years ago? What were you doing 6 years ago? 6 years, right? After you could think about college. Yeah,
I was in college.
There you go. Remember what year is it? I'm not even sure which way's up. What you remember is you celebrate all the wonderful holidays that you probably didn't celebrate this one the right way.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people do this the last Thursday in November, not mm-hmm. him. Dan Snyder, when he welcomed overmatched bumbling boob Ron Rivera to this organization as both the head coach and GM, never forget, he took both jobs and then complained about having to do one. He stood in front of the masses, and he said these words, Darius. What did he say?
First off, happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
First off, before anything else happens.
It's bad.
Happy Thanksgiving. I have so much to get to. I'm very busy. I'm a very busy man, Dan Snyder. Before anything else happens.
Yeah.
First off, happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving.
What a cringe moment. What a cringe moment. What a cringe period of time with this organization. It's so crazy. I hope, I don't know if you've seen this joke on Twitter, by the way, Danny. They say that Dan Quinn is nothing but Ron Rivera with a backwards hat. And I hope that's not the case. I hope history proves me wrong on that. What a time.
What a time. Idiots like me, by the way, because Rivera was nice to me at the Super Bowl once.
Oh, yeah. He's a nice guy.
I went, like, they should go hire that guy. They really should.
Yeah.
But that's not even the point. The point is we're celebrating the holiday season.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving, right around the corner. Right around the corner. 2026 Thanksgiving. Be here before you know it. Yep. And you need Dan Snyder to say?
First off, happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Thank you, Dan.
So I mean that from the bottom of my heart. From Dan to you, to me, then back to you. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Wow.
Yeah.
How sweet of you.
Right? A heartfelt message today, Caddies on Cordell.
Seriously.
How are you viewing this game on Sunday?
I don't want to watch it. I'm totally disinterested. Mm-hmm. I want to watch meaningful football in January. That's all I asked for.
Yeah.
I got teased with it last year. Thought it was going to be a reoccurring theme. It's not. We're back in the projects. So kind of just is what it is.
So here's where I'm at, and I want to see if you share this. You're a passionate fan.
Oh, I love it.
That's the thing.
I bleed it.
And I'm able now, having done this gig, fortunate enough to have, you know, been doing this for a few years now, that I can kind of separate the two.
Mm. Meaning your passion and
To a degree, that still drives what we do. You can't do this without giving a damn about sports to some degree, right? But like, we're talking Danny Ruye. Yeah. 4.5 hours on a Wednesday, Danny Ruye can sort of go, I put aside some emotion, try to call some balls and strikes and figure things out. There's still some moments, though, where that disgusting little monster, that little gremlin inside of me that's eating after midnight, that fat idiot in here that I'm pointing to in my heart and soul still comes out every now and again.
Yeah.
When they're great, that time, maybe it doesn't happen very often, and when they're terrible like this, where everything they do or say. I know you're not a married guy, Linnell, but every husband can relate to this. There are certain weeks where you might as well just go camping. Where everything you do and don't do and should have done and could have done and tried to do and didn't do but wanted to do, you're living in fear because everything you do is wrong.
Yeah.
And all you hear are sighs of exhales of exasperation from your spouse. Yeah, a little tisk, a little, and you're like, oh my God, I might end up unalived. There are certain times where that's my feeling about the football team.
Yeah,
I'm in one right now. Everything they do is going to piss me off. When you've been this bad, if they lose, I'll be furious.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, I will be. No, they're gonna lose. Maybe who knows what they do? I'll be even angrier if they win. If this group of finds a way to beat the backup Eagles. And that's they already said, by the way, we don't respect you. We don't care about
pretty
you.
Much.
It's more important for us to rest our guys than to try to beat you. And if we do, you should feel that much worse about yourselves. If they mess around and win this game, then they'll do the normal rhetoric where they cut the Dan Quinn post-game. I'm proud of you, man. You know, we missed the mark before and we hit our spots and cliche, whatever. I'll be furious. Where was any of this when it mattered? We could have had a season. If you behaved reasonably, we'd be in the hunt. That's all I asked. Nobody's saying you have to win 12 games with all the injuries and crap you had this year. If you just behave like a football team that sometimes can be a 7-10 season, would have been disappointing, but it would have made some sense. They're going to finish under the 5.5 wins all of you threw a hissy fit about when it came out in the springtime.
Mm.
So I tag you in late night, Linnell. How will you feel about this game on Sunday?
If they win, I'd be furious just like you. But I've been the the good cop, so to speak, down the stretch here, saying, I'm bought into the division tournament. I love that he's using that as like a motivational tool and tactic to get the guys to play hard down the stretch. But to your point, like, this has been an absolute season from hell. And I think, to your credit, you have made this point more than others, and I've really only heard it come from you. It didn't have to be this bad. And I think that that's the part, when you say it in real time, that I genuinely get disgusted with. Because I'm watching other teams go through injuries just like we are. Baltimore's been without its quarterback for basically a lot of this year. He's missed 6 or 7 games. They're playing for a playoff game. They're playing for a playoff spot coming up this weekend.
No, it's a terrible division. And yeah, if they were in this one, they'd be eliminated. But the point stands, though. I understand.
It matters still.
Losing, you know, more than you win this
exactly.
year. I get it. I predict them to do that without all these injuries. With Jaden Daniels. It's just a tougher schedule. The league adjusts to you. Right. There's a lot that gets figured out. You don't just get to play Cooper Rush a couple times. The schedule doesn't line up for you. You are probably not as good as you were last year. You don't get a Hail Mary. You don't get every fourth down. Some bad luck hits. You finish 7-10. That's kind of what I said 8-9, 7-10 before the season. I didn't say 4-13 and uncompetitive for a month. I didn't say that October goes by and you get outscored by 100 points per week.
Yeah.
Overall. Like, no, you don't get to get away with that.
Yeah.
And I guess that's kind of my point here. And I'm not suggesting anybody loses a gig or otherwise. I don't think we're there. The deposit of last year still registers. It still matters to me. But this is one of those, I'm so mad about this season that anything I see or hear feels off-putting to me. Just because I'm walking in with that anger. And I know it's on me.
Yeah. We care about it. And I get it. I feel the exact same way. My whole thing is this, though, when it comes to this group, like, I said this a couple of weeks ago, I guess before we beat the Giants. I was like, I really don't care about the games down the stretch. The moment in time that I'm ready for, it's probably going to happen a week after the season finale. I want to see Lance Newmark, Josh Harris, who's going to be up there, Adam Peters and Dan Quinn do their best to try to explain why this went this way and then resell us as a fan base on why it's never going to happen again. Because, like, I need answers, right? You can't just – And what I don't want them to do is just blame injuries. If you think that this season went this way strictly because of injuries, you're just simply naive. You don't understand what you were looking at for the better part of 17, 18 weeks. There's no excuse for you to bottom out like this. I think it's a talent issue. I'm ready to go all the way to the top with it. And I know, you know, David Aldridge hopped on with us, and he kind of pushed back at the notion of, you know, their scouting department. Like, that's the thing, Danny, that gets me right now with this group. I was sold this bill of goods that Adam Peters was the best talent evaluator on the market. His second best draft pick out of 8 in year 1 is Jordan McGee, a 5th-round linebacker. He wasted 3 second-round picks on Mikey Samristil, who you all think is some potential Pro Bowl corner. I think he's a fringe starter in this league. I did this when I was in middle school. You remember Quentin Dunbar, Dunlocks?
Sure, great story. Yeah.
I walked around Magruder High School telling people that he was a Pro Bowl corner when in reality I just liked him because he's on my team. That's what we're doing with Mikey Samristil. So he's undersized at the position, inside and out. He's not that good. We drafted a glorified fullback with a top 60 pick. Jerzon Newton is a fringe first rounder. He probably couldn't get past me. It's frustrating, man. I just want us to pick better players. That's my frustration with all of
this. That's a big part of it, yeah. And again, I understand taking the same approach you did the year before to go old veterans, let's kind of keep this train on the tracks. That all kind of blew up in their face, though, this year.
Yeah.
I'm never going to get what I want when it comes to that. I want someone to stand up and apologize directly to me. And Adam's so handsome.
Why is that too big for them
hair.
To do?
No, nothing happens that way. But I'd love for him to say, Danny, hey, listen, we messed up everything, everywhere, at all times. Nobody here is above reproach. No thing just went sideways because of bad luck. We're going to change what time we eat breakfast. We're going to change how we practice. We're going to change how cold the ice is in the cold tub. Nothing is above examination after a year like this. That's what I want. I'll never get it, but that's what I want. Double play is next.
Let's do it. Oh, no, I got a good
check
one.
Check that. Winning off the field is next.
There we go,
it's Friday.
It's Friday.
That's right. We'll do a little Beltway Blitz at 4 p.m. Plenty more Grant and Danny to come. Live from Caddies on Cordell in Bethesda. Lynnell Willingham sitting in for GP. We'll tell you how you're winning off the field next. 800-636-1067. If you'd like to share it with our small little community.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome back, G&D, on the Fan and at Caddies on Cordell here in Bethesda. Linnell filling in for GP. So you heard in the intro, you know how this goes. 800-636-1067. What's going on in your life? That's teeny, that's tiny, a small, insignificant thing that nowhere else would anybody care about, but we do here. We embrace those things. The winning off the field segment brought to you once by Bruce Allen, a millionaire boob, who was in charge of this beloved organization, who stood in front of the assembled masses, a cadre of journalists, and gave a State of the Union where he said these words.
We're winning off the field, but we got to start winning on the field.
Sure do, Big Cat. Miss you, buddy. Miss you, pal. It's great standing here on the Fan, as I said. So for me, the way I'm winning off the field, Linnell, is, and Darius, I'm going to have you just hop on this, be real, real quick with it, because you know where I'm going probably. I didn't even realize it today. I'm such an idiot. I'm celebrating holidays on their calendar day.
Okay.
What day is Christmas? Who knows? December 25th. Boom. Right?
Day.
You know that. What's New Year's Eve? December 31st. Boom. Right?
Right.
New Year's Day, January 1st. Boom. Everyone knows.
Day.
January 2nd, though. January 2nd, 2020 is the first year that we celebrated one of my favorite holidays, if not my favorite holiday, on this day, because Dan Snyder told me that it's not the day that I thought it was. Dan Snyder stood in front of the people, and he said, what? What did Dan Snyder say? What did he say?
First off, happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
It's Thanksgiving today.
Yeah.
Today it is.
Today is Thanksgiving.
That's how I'm winning off the field. See what I'm saying?
Winning off the field?
Yeah, I get Thanksgiving today. Dan Snyder gave that to me.
Are you using it as an excuse to just eat a bunch of carbohydrate-filled foods?
Yeah. Why you got to say it like that?
Well, I was tuned into the show the other day, and they were talking about, I mean, milestone in the program, your biggest weight gain over a break.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to hit a tough spot.
No,
for
it's
or
it's
a soft
fair.
Spot, so to speak.
There are many soft spots now. I did it. I mean, I'm the one who ate the food. Yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, of course I did. So now my record per day weight gain is still in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Where I came back and I was buttercream, if that makes any sense. Like I became one of those pies that I ate. That was meant for four people. I had three of them. Point is, where was I? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Point is, over 8 or 9 days,
yeah.
I gained 16 and a half pounds.
It's an average of about 2 pounds per day.
That's good math. And it's disgusting.
Yeah.
And it's disgusting. And I didn't help myself.
Yeah.
I exercised like twice since I weighed in. And it's not, I haven't gone down.
No.
I had really good food today, too.
You look great, though.
No, pal. You're saying that now. It's too late.
I was in the mirror in my new apartment. I'm looking at myself. I currently feel like a three-bedroom family home.
You ever feel that?
I feel massive.
Where you guys, like I look like I swallowed the Michelin Man everywhere?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not
that's
fun.
Tough. Well, anyway, today's Thanksgiving because Dan Snyder gave me permission. So that's one thing his legacy left.
That's how you're
– And that's how I'm winning off the
field. Winning off the field.
Thanks, Bruce.
Well, there we go. My winning off the field started off as a massive L, still is a massive L, but it turned into a better L. So this was Wednesday night. I'm on my way to do the late night bit. And
late night Linnell, everybody.
Late night Linnell, and I'm going to do the bit. And I had to use the bathroom really bad on my drive to the station. It's an hour and 10-minute trip.
Yeah, that is
it's rough.
Of itself.
So I got
I don't want to be too personal about it, but were you throwing a fastball or a breaking ball there?
I was throwing a fastball.
Okay.
Throwing a fastball.
Gotcha.
That's right. It.
Signal for the old number one, the heater.
Literally. So I had to stop. I got about 10 minutes from studio. And I just was like, all right, I got to hop out. And when I say I had to hop out, like I'm doing the bit where I'm shaking, like while my foot's on the gas and braking, I'm trying to do all the potty dances. And I eventually I'm like, I can't do this anymore. Out in Half Street where our studios are, someone nearly took my car door off about a month ago, just opening it up because people drive like madmen. So ever since then, I have been entering and exiting the vehicle through the passenger side. So when you have to use the bathroom really bad, and then you have to, as a 6'2", 285-pound man, climb over your middle console and things of that nature, it's tough. I locked myself out of the car while using the bathroom. It was probably in someone's garden. You know how D.C. townhomes are. It's just kind of the way that it works. I've realized I'm locked out, though. And it takes about 2 hours, no exaggeration, 2 hours for these people to come rescue me. And I'm thinking they're going to come with this, like, big excavator or something. They're going to, like, jaws of life this thing open. He basically has a fancy whoopee cushion that he blows up. Mm-hmm. It opens up the car door, and that's what it is. Here's why I'm winning off the field, though. When he gets to me, it's this nice man. I think his name is Diego. I actually know his name is Diego. I saved his number on my phone, and he said, hit me up if you need anything. So I'm talking to Diego, and he goes, bro, I'm sorry we took so long to get here. I'm pissed, obviously. And
sure.
He's like, my boss says we're going to have to take the payment before we do this. And he goes, it's $180.
Okay.
And I said, what? Why does it cost $180 for you to open my car door? Now, I made the mistake of locking my keys in the car. I'm an idiot. Mm-hmm. How I'm winning off the field is after my complaining, moaning, and groaning, sad facing it, making it seem like I really just had no way to pay it, which I kind of didn't because we didn't get paid for like another day. He dropped it from 180 to 80. I had $96 in my Apple Pay.
Oh.
Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
So there we go. I got a $100 discount
from my guy
Diego.
I thought his answer was going to be, we have to pay Vanderbilt NIL.
Well, yeah.
That's a Diego Pavia bit. Is that a deep cut? Was that fair?
Very, very deep cut.
Yeah, but you got it was fair. Right away.
I got it.
You got it.
There we go.
No. Oh, now I feel worse. I feel worse. You can't ruin my Thanksgiving like that.
Well.
First off, happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
You're damn right, man. You're damn right, buddy. That's right. Happy Thanksgiving.
Shout out to Diego, though, by the way.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Diego.
Helping me out in the holiday season. This was on New Year's Eve. So it was rough.
By the way, that is tough.
That was very tough, bro. Mm. Are you kidding? Yeah. 2 hours out in the freezing cold?
Well, we had a, and this is totally true, we went to a bunch of different places for Christmas because everybody wants to see kids and stuff. And so they finally got a baby. And we went from one place to the other, and we forgot diapers.
Mm.
So it happens. It's like, you know, you're picking up this pack and play and this thing and these kids and that kid. Everybody got their sleeping bag, this thing. And we realized we forgot it. And so the greatest person ever Instacarted diapers to our location that night. And we tipped him like you wouldn't believe. Like we paid 10 times what the diapers were.
Yeah.
Just as an unbelievable gracious thank you.
Big of people.
So that thing is, that was really cool. So Merry Christmas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.